You're listening to the Spark Radio Network, internet radio like you've never heard before. Innovation, creativity, and imagination are all said to begin with a spark. So fasten your seatbelt and take the ride of your life and listen for the spark.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Most writers and radio show hosts know that to connect with your fans, you need to do more than just write books or record the latest podcasts. There are many different elements that go into forming an online platform, but there are also many hidden traps. To make matters worse, solid advice on how to survive the muddy waters is scarce. In the book Hidden Traps, I talk about some of the important issues of working with an online platform, highlighting traps that could put your physical or internet security at risk or be harmful to your reputation. Are your social media posts just links with a few disjointed words, making you look like someone who can't complete a sentence? Did your new website cost you more than you anticipated? Are you leaking your personal contact details across the web without even knowing it? Then you need Hidden Traps. Hidden Traps is now available in paperback and ebook from a variety of retailers, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. Visit blackwolfpublications.com for more details.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Sometimes writers feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our writing into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable writers to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a writer's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
American way, and we built this country called the USA, and we fly our flag cause we're proud and free, we're Americans. Red, white, and blue is our way of life, never back down from a challenge or a fight. Nature provides, God gives the rights, we're Americans. We fish the waters and we hunt the lands, we forge the steel with our own two hands. With what we've got, we do the best we can, we're Americans.
This is Rio of Madison Rising, and you're listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Good evening, everybody. So great to be back with you on Wednesday night. Quick programming note coming up after me, Jesse's POV, followed by the Stafford Voice. Do yourself a favor and stay tuned. You should have just got done listening to America Off the Rails. If you did not, shame on you. But Rick will be posting a link probably pretty quickly, and you can catch that at your convenience on either iTunes or iHeart, your choice, depending on the device you own. Now, before we get rolling tonight into the business at hand, let's take a quick look around at what else is going on. We have, I don't normally do a lot of this because I don't normally care a lot about this, but I'm going to pay some respect where some respect is due here. Out of the entertainment world, two legends in the entertainment business announced their retirement this week. One, effective immediately, that would be Neil Diamond. After 50 years of wowing the masses, Neil Diamond, diagnosed with Parkinson's, has decided that it is time, and he has canceled the rest of his tour dates and has hung up live performances. He does say that he will continue to do studio work and some writing and things of that nature, but the rigors of the road are too much. And on the other side of that same coin, Elton John announces his farewell tour. This is kind of reminiscent of Kiss almost, in that they never really went away. But Elton John's farewell tour is going to be 3 years long. So, you know, it's not like you won't have a chance over the next 3 years to catch him somewhere around the world. But this next 3 years will be his last tour, he has said, and that is the end of that. So, again, two legends calling it quits, one immediately, one eventually. And, you know, it is what it is. Folks, you know, the entertainers age too. And so what else is going on that we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in? I'm just seeing this right now. We have four Americans killed in a Taliban attack in Kabul. This is no bueno for sure. I do not like hearing Americans dead. We'll get more into this later as I find more about the story, but I don't have it all right now. I'm just flicking through news flashes to see what's what. Let's see what else is dead or dead. What else is dead? Listen to me. Jeez, because I just saw another headline. 300 dead sharks found by Mexico roadside, 150 miles from the ocean. What gives with that? Anyway, just another one of those weird things. Toys R Us, bankruptcy again. Gonna shutter over 180 stores. I think that you're probably seeing the very end of Toys R Us. If you're a Jeffrey fan, the going out of business sales are going to start very soon. you know, run down there and get whatever you got to get from Toys R Us, because I think by year's end, they're completely toast unless they really find some innovative leadership that can get them into the digital marketplace. But I think between Walmart and Amazon, Toys R Us is just wrecked. They didn't know how to compete, and they held on as long as they can. And that's about the end of it. In science news, we have monkeys cloned for the first time. Leaves people wondering if people are next. You know, who knows? Who knows? I don't like the idea, but, you know, that's me. You're entitled to your opinion just like I'm entitled to mine. And speaking of opinions, if you want to share yours, the phone lines are open through the whole show. The number is 408-681-8255. That's 408-681-8255. And I also want to take a minute to just give a quick shout out here to friend of the show, Jennifer Sacco. Jennifer is commemorating the loss of her brother today. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, Jennifer, as always. God bless you and your family, and so sorry for your loss. I know it's been 2 years now, but it doesn't really get any easier. We just learn how to live with it better. It's been 1995 since I lost my father at the age of 53, and not a day goes by that I still don't think about him. So I definitely empathize and sympathize. All right. So with all that out of the way, we're going to kick off tonight, and we're going to talk about these school shootings that have been going on, and not necessarily these particular school shootings, but school shootings in general. And you know, let's take a little deeper look at what's causing these things. We don't have all the answers, but there's no reason we can't do some digging and ask questions and you know, and show you what some of the experts are thinking. And most of them point to several different causes for school shootings. You know, you got the profile and motivation of school shooters is actually widely varied. You know, there's not one personality type that you can point at and say it's them. It's necessary to understand the main reasons underpinning such cruel crimes and focus our efforts into tackling them. You know, most of the experts don't address this, and probably for good reason. They dance around it delicately without actually saying it. But I'm going to say it right off the bat. A lot of this is due to just piss poor parenting, and not just parenting of the shooters, but parenting of the kids that are instigating the shooters. Bullying will never go away. Okay, let's get that out in the open. Bullying will never, ever go away. We need, as parents, to teach our kids to be better and to handle things better. Both sides of the coin. You can say there wouldn't be one without the other. Maybe. You know, you can make that argument, but there's always other factors. So we need to do a better job as parents in teaching our kids to not be bullies, but we also need to do a better job with children that are being bullied, teaching them that the bullies are wrong and it's just dumb and that they shouldn't be paying it that much attention. Certainly not to let it influence you enough to shoot up a school or shoot yourself. There's nothing worth that. So injustice collector is a term that refers to people that believe they have been insulted, harmed, or treated unfairly. Many school shooters collected a set of real or imaginary grievances inflicted to them by others. They sometimes kept lists with people that had done bad to them. Attacking the school can be seen as an act of revenge. Okay. Then we have people that are just looking for notoriety or their 15 minutes of fame or, you know, whatever, however you want to nail that down as other potential reasons for school shootings. The perpetrators are aware that attacks on schools get a lot of media attention. Oftentimes, several school shootings occur in relatively short periods of time, as we saw over the last week. This seems to support the hypothesis that many of the shooters are imitating the actions of previous shooters in hoping to achieve a high level of media exposure slash fame. Now, what drives that? I'm glad you asked, because our next topic under this big, big umbrella is mental health problems. It's often suggested as a major cause, and we usually find out that it is at least a factor. Most school shooters were mentally ill or showed symptoms of mental health problems. Timely psychiatric support could prevent some of this. However, in most cases, the illnesses were not always properly diagnosed and or treated. Now, when you take that combined with the want for acceptance, the need for revenge or vengeance as things pile up on you, being bullied, developing mental health problems, and then also living in a culture that celebrates violence in entertainment and media, the explicit violence in movies, video games, music videos, comic books, other forms of entertainment are all going to also contribute or glorify violent behaviors. And it's commonly argued that the exposure of children and young people to violent content may make them more prone to commit these type crimes by desensitizing them to the reality of the situation. Now, the one thing that we hear from the left after these kinds of shootings is always gun control. And I'm here to tell you the problem isn't the guns. Okay? The problem is not guns. Now, I say that, but I'm also going to throw this caveat out there too. Having the old 1968 converted China cabinet with the glass doors on it and a little hook latch is not securing your firearms. Okay? Your firearms need to have trigger locks on them, or they need to be in a safe that you only have a key to, or you and somebody you trust implicitly, your spouse, a sibling, you know, not a child. There should be no easy access to these weapons for children. You have to be a responsible gun owner. Okay? Adam Lanza, he killed his mother when he took the guns out of their house. They were not in a safe. They were in a cabinet. They were in a locked cabinet that he just smashed the door off of. It's not that hard when you don't really secure them. You have to secure them. So, you know, the left likes to complain that it's, oh, it's far too easy to gain access to firearms in the United States, and building an arsenal that many of these school shooters use in their crimes would, it's just so easy for them to do. And it's hardly possible in other countries that have tougher gun regulation. Well, guess what? We're not other countries. We're the United States of America. We have a constitution that guarantees us the right to bear arms. It's an inherent right. The constitution just affirms it. Okay? This is not something that the government gives us. This is something we're born with. They like to point out that there are over 15,000 gun shops in the United States, and that many families have at least one or several weapons. Well, so what? Again, this is the United States. What we're finding out, though, is that most of our shooters, most of our school shooters, do not have a history of proper firearm training. They know how to use it, but they haven't been through a true safety course. They haven't been through true training. They, you know, they just got shown how to slap a magazine into a pistol and to pull the slide back and pull the trigger. You know, you can watch that in a video game. That doesn't take a genius to figure out. But, you know, it just blows my mind that this is the only thing the left wants to talk about is gun control. Because they think if the guns are gone, that the killing will stop. Folks, we all know that if somebody wants to kill somebody, they're going to find a way to do it, whether it's with a stick, whether it's with a crowbar, whether it's forcing gasoline down their throat, whether it's a knife, whether it's a corkscrew. It doesn't matter. They're going to find a way to kill somebody. We have to learn to be responsible. I've always touted personal responsibility as one of the most important functions of living in a free country. Moving on, we have sexuality and jealousy as a cause. One of the shootings just this past week was over a boyfriend-girlfriend breakup, a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old. Imagine that. And it was worth shooting her over. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're going to touch more on that. You know, a lot of people, we see so much of these shootings that some people grow immune or desensitized to it, at least the shock of it anyway. Folks, we should never not be shocked at children shooting children. It should stun us, but we can't give our freedoms up over it. We cannot be subservient to government and acquiesce our freedoms away. We can't be that country. If we're going to do that, then everything that was fought for this country 200 plus years ago was for nothing. You know, we have one of the latest incidents, 14-year-old Jalen Freiberg in Washington, school rampage. You know, this is a young man that was described as very popular, very happy. He was voted homecoming prince his freshman year, and he killed two teens and himself. And you know, his classmate, one of his classmates told reporters nobody would have ever expected this from him. And that was basically the echo chamber throughout the school. Everybody just, you know, so much going for him. Honor student, popular, homecoming prince, well-liked among the faculty. Just a kid that seemed to have his ducks in a row and going places. And this was from people that knew him in and out of school. But delving deeper into the incident indicated that a series of angry tweets leading up to the shooting may have indicated that not all was well with the high school freshman. He appeared to have a passion for hunting, family, sports, music, and his Native American culture as a member of the Tulalip tribe. And you know, that emotional social media trail, according to experts in the field of adolescent psychology, is not all that surprising. Dr. Barbara Greenberg, clinical psychologist specializing in adolescence and co-author of Teenage as a Second Language, A Parent's Guide to Becoming Bilingual, she said it's a myth that people are doing well and are just suddenly triggered into committing murder. She says there's always an emotional buildup of some kind. Greenberg noted further that even though he looked happy and was voted homecoming prince, that's meaningless. She said popularity is not related to emotional stability. And that's why popularity is such a problematic term. Lawrence Steinberg, professor of psychology at Temple University, author of Age of Opportunity, Lessons from the New Science of Adolescence, basically is in lockstep with Greenberg. He says there's a big difference between being popular and having close friends. And the latter is much more important than the former, as it serves as a protective factor. Lots of popular kids are not happy. By that same token, kids with just a couple of good close friends seem to be much happier. He adds that it's almost so common to be that after something like this happens, whoa. Rick.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, hard echo. All right, we're good. We're good. So he added that, something like this happens. We hear things like, we thought this person was perfectly normal. But after some time has elapsed and investigators take the time and dig deeper, they usually find out that there are other things that help make sense of it. You can't defend it, but you can try to make sense out of it. What drove them to it? Last April, Chris Plaskin, for example, the teen being charged as an adult in the April stabbing death of 16-year-old Maren Sanchez as a class clown. It was later reported that Plaskin was exhibiting signs of psychosis. Elliot Roger, who killed six and wounded more than a dozen students in Isla Vista, the shooting rampage there, was quickly discovered to have left a long trail of clues as to what was burning underneath his facade, including manifesto, his chilling diary, and years of mental health issues. You got Jarrett Padgett, the 15-year-old behind the Oregon shooting last June that had been described as a good kid and a leader. All these underlying causes, as far as why a promising young man like Freiberg would go to such extreme measures over a breakup or a perceived betrayal like this, both of which have been raised as possible motives in the case, still under investigation, of course, Steinberg points out factors that are important to remember regarding adolescence. He says, we know that teens are more impulsive, and we know that they are more easily emotionally aroused, both negatively and positively. They are also still maturing as far as their capacities to manage stress. However, most teenagers wouldn't react like Freiberg did. You don't hear about the other 5,000 boys that their girlfriends broke up with them this week. Yeah, I'm just throwing numbers out there. I don't know what the number is. Come on, play along. There have been plenty of examples also of adults reacting violently to such perceived betrayals and breakups. I don't think in these sorts of situations, teens actually snap any more than adults do. Stress can often build up to the point where it overtaxes one's ability to cope with it, and everybody does respond in different ways. Folks, this is where I was going earlier with parenting. We have to teach our kids how to cope better. Rick, I know we're at the bottom of the hour, brother. We can go ahead and run a commercial break. We can continue this when we get back. I still got a good bit to go, so I'm good if you're ready.
Oh, but ain't that a matter? Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America something to see, baby? Ain't that America home on the free? Yeah.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So where did we leave off? Well, we left off with how parents need to do a better job. And how can parents do a better job? Well, one of the ways that they can do a better job is to actually, parent. Know when your teen's moodiness is not just a signal of normal ups and downs of their hormonal rage, and when it's cause for real alarm. Stress the importance. You know, you got to pay attention to nonverbal clues as well as being actively involved in their lives. look for changes in their behavior. A teenager won't usually say, I'm mad, I'm sad, or I'm depressed. Be on the lookout for more nuanced nonverbal clues, a rise in irritability, sleeping more or less than usual, deteriorating grades, isolating themselves socially, or general apathy where there had been no such kind of behavior before. The general rule of thumb from the professional psychiatric and psychology communities are if they're showing an atypical pattern of behavior that goes beyond 2 weeks, you should probably consult somebody. That doesn't mean have your kid committed. That means get the ball rolling to try to find out what's going on. Pay particular attention after a breakup. You know, boys and girls go through this. They start younger and younger these days. But, you know, in their middle teens, even in their early teens, the hormones are raging and they don't have a clue how to handle them. You got to step in and help. Studies have been done that they find that males fall in love more easily and can have a more difficult time falling out of love. You know, Dr. Greenberg says the boys who she sees and who get broken up with are the ones who get the most upset. She notes that there's evidence that the breakup of a romantic relationship is the most common precipitator of suicide with an adolescent, but stresses for parents that suicide and murder are not the fallout in the vast majority of cases. Don't rely on cliches. Popularity can actually be a risk factor, especially if they feel like they're popular and everybody is just trying to sponge off of them because of it. Be mindful. We covered this one just a few minutes ago. Be mindful of your child's access to weapons. Okay. By all means, exercise your Second Amendment right. You have every right in the world to do so responsibly. Make sure it's secure, not behind a glass door with a latch hook on it. Trigger locks, gun safes, where the kids don't have the combination. It's simple. You're spending $1,000 on a rifle. You can skip one rifle and spend that $1,000 on a safe to house all your rifles in and your pistols. It just works. You know, these combinations, they all work, especially if you put them together. You know, you don't just have to do one topic at a time. You can do it all together. It's not like when we were kids, okay? When I was a kid, I had no clue where the gun was in the house. I knew there was one, but I had no clue where it was, okay? If I had a problem with another kid, we went outside in the yard, we balled our fists up, we settled our problem. That was the end of it. And usually by the end of the week, we were friends again. That's just how the hell it was. So anyway, you know, I hate kicking off over half the show with such a dark topic, but, you know, we had to talk about this. It had to be done. And not in the usual hysteria after a couple of school shootings and you know, the hysteria of the gun grabbing and things of that nature. I wanted to tackle a serious part of the issue. And I hope we did that. I hope we did that. Anyway, we're going to move on to some other news. Some of the other things that I wanted to touch on. We have a draft. We actually have a draft of the Trump administration's infrastructure plan. that reportedly aims to devote 25% of its appropriation to rural areas for projects to make transportation more efficient and boost access to broadband. Now, I work in the tech world. I understand how broadband and infrastructure are terms that go hand in hand in what I do. I do not understand how broadband internet access in rural areas falls under the nation's infrastructure, though. But anyway, what do I know? The leaked plan posted by Axios on Monday doesn't give dollar estimates for the funding involved, although we already know that Trump had proposed $1.1 trillion for his infrastructure plan. So basically $250 billion to rural areas for this. According to the Rural Initiative, there'd be five targets for spending besides transportation and broadband access. The draft also outlines water and waste, power and electric, and water resources. The initiative calls for block grant funding for areas with fewer than 50,000 residents, with money made available to each governor based on the rural area in one state in relation to all states. And the total adjusted rural population. States would be incentivized to partner with local and private investment for completion and operation of projects under this program. The biggest appropriation, 50%, would provide incentives in the form of grants to spur state, local, and private investment in core infrastructure and apply to new transportation, airport, rail, maritime, and inland waterway ports, flood control, water supply, hydropower, water resources, drinking water facilities, stormwater facilities, and cleanup of toxic sites. That's a lot. As I mentioned, President Trump has previously promoted a $1.1 trillion infrastructure plan. The White House declined to comment on this new document and would not comment on additional proposed funding for said document. So we got that going. That is, I guess they're going to roll after we finally get a budget done in three more weeks, hopefully. I guess we'll start working on infrastructure as opposed to welfare reform. Looks like welfare reform will wait till after the midterms after all. So, you know, this is not what President Trump had in mind. He would much rather be moving at a quicker pace, but we know that the House and the Senate are not those animals. So anyway, that's the latest on infrastructure. And I wanted to touch on this piece that I caught about Rand Paul. Last Thursday, Rand Paul made the comments that he would rather use money in the U.S. that has been sent to countries like Pakistan. His quote was, "I would take the money we send to a lot of countries that aren't necessarily our friends, like Pakistan. I would redirect that money into building roads and bridges here," Paul said. "I have a bill that I will introduce next week," which would be this week, "that will take about $2 billion we spend in Pakistan, and let's spend that money in the United States. We'll spend it here at home. Let's don't give it to people that hate us and burn our flag and chant death to America," he said. Senator Paul also said he would rather have another country pay for items rather than be given them. I think it's a real disservice to U.S. soldiers to give money to a government that may be cooperating with people who are killing our soldiers. Pakistan, at best, is a frenemy, Paul said. He also noted that Osama bin Laden lived in Pakistan and the country has jailed Christians, so no, they're not really our friend. And he's not wrong. He is not wrong. Let's go ahead and punch this obvious mouse in the nose. The shutdown that almost wasn't, and the cave-in that was immediate, and yada, yada, yada. Congress voted Monday to end a three-day, not even quite full 3 days. It was a 69-hour shutdown of the U.S. government, approving another short-term funding bill as Democrats accepted promises from Republicans for a broad debate later on the future of young illegal immigrants. You see, it kills me. We're gonna come back to this. I'm gonna press here. The fourth temporary funding bill since October easily passed the Senate and the House. Sent it to the White House. Trump signed it. Yeah, we're good through February 8th. When Congress will have to revisit the budget and immigration policy, two disparate issues that have become closely linked, and they should not be even remotely linked. One is an appropriations bill. The other is non-appropriations. They should not be piled in together. You already know the vote counts by now. No need to touch on that. Trump's attempts to negotiate an end to the shutdown with Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer collapsed on Friday in recriminations and finger pointing. The Republican president took a new swipe at the Democrats as he celebrated the Senate's pact. He said, "I'm pleased that the Democrats in Congress have come to their senses. We will make a long-term deal on immigration if and only if it is good for the country." And already this week, we're seeing signs of Trump waffling on that statement. Immigration and the budget are entangled because of Congress's failure last year to approve a budget on time by October 1st, just weeks after Trump summarily ordered an end by March to Obama-era legal protections for young immigrants known as Dreamers. The budget failure has necessitated passage by Congress of a series of temporary funding measures, giving Democrats leverage each step of the way since they hold votes needed to overcome a 60-vote threshold in the Senate for most legislation. And this is why people are screaming, but the Republicans control the House and the Senate. Yes, but the Senate takes 60 votes to pass legislation. The Republicans do not have 60 seats in the Senate. They have a slim majority. With government spending authority about to expire again at midnight Friday, Democrats withheld support for a fourth stopgap spending bill and demanded action for the Dreamers. The roughly 700,000, that's the number they want to go with, 700,000, more like 3.4 million, or somewhere in between. Anyway, they were brought here to the United States illegally as children, mainly from Mexico and Central America, and they have mostly grown up here in the United States. Again, I hate that their parents have put them in this predicament, but I do not see how this is the United States' problem to fix. Maybe I'm callous. Oh, well. But I don't care if they're white, brown, black, blue, red, green, purple, or plaid. If you're not a citizen, go home when you're supposed to go home, or don't come here when you're not supposed to come here. Now, Democrats, as a condition of supporting a new spending stopgap, demanded a resolution of the uncertain future Trump created for Dreamers with his DACA order last year. Democratic leaders, worried about being blamed for the disruptive shutdown that resulted, relented in the end and accepted a pledge by Republicans to hold a debate later over the fate of Dreamers and related immigration issues. Now, let me tell you folks something, okay? This is the national story you're getting from national media. I listened to my House representative, that would be Congressman Bradley Byrne, on the radio yesterday. And he was actually laughing at the idea that Schumer and McConnell can just negotiate a deal on immigration without the House or without the president. And he basically said that he can almost assure his constituency that any such amnesty kind of bill that comes from the Senate to the House would be dead on arrival. The House is definitely looking more like wanting to dig in closer to what Trump was like during the campaign versus the Senate, who is much more worried about seats coming up in the midterms than the House. I can see the Senate slipping away from the Republicans. I cannot see enough House seats flopping to give the Democrats the House. But stranger things have happened. Hell, Trump won. I mean, you know, it is what it is. So the shutdown undercut Trump's self-crafted image as a deal maker who would repair the broken culture in Washington. It forced Trump to cancel a weekend trip to Mar-a-Lago, created uncertainty around his scheduled trip this week to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The U.S. government cannot fully operate without funding bills that are voted in Congress regularly. Washington has been hampered by frequent threats of a shutdown in recent years as the two parties fight over spending. This goes back to what we talked about last week about possibly talking about bringing earmarks back, getting more people to sit down and actually negotiate. I'm still not a fan of earmarks, but you know, I'd like to hear what kind of assurances we could get about how to keep it from becoming so corrupt like it was before. Both sides in Washington tried to blame the other for the shutdown. Apparently, the media polling shows that more people blamed the Democrats than anybody else. The Republicans actually shared less of the blame, taking the end slot and the president getting the middle slot for blame. So the numbers I saw had the Democrats garnering the most, then the president, and then the Republican Party. And, you know, pretty much that's what it boils down to. So on Monday, Trump met separately at the White House with Republican senators who have taken a harder line on immigration and with moderate Democratic senators, Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Doug Jones of Alabama. Calling Doug Jones a moderate would be a joke. I don't know who wrote this article, but they should be slapped. Doug Jones is not a moderate. Some liberal groups were infuriated by the decision to reopen the government, as was I, but for a different reason. But we've got Stephanie Taylor, co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, saying today's cave by Senate Democrats, led by weak-kneed right-of-center Democrats, is why people don't believe in the Democratic Party or anything it stands for. That's pretty strong. Markets absorbed the shutdown over the past week because it was over the weekend. Come on, let's really, guys, we can do better than this. For Jovan Rodriguez of Brooklyn, a dreamer whose family came from Mexico when he was 3 years old and ultimately settled in Texas, the latest development was more of the same. Why do we have to wait again? It's like our lives are suspended in limbo, he said, and they have been that way for months. He said, I don't trust the Republicans, and I don't trust Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell with a promise that's not good enough anymore. You know what's not good enough anymore is people sucking the resources out of our country that don't belong here. How about that? That's not good enough for me anymore. I'm so sick of being the country that's responsible for everybody else's country. Okay? So related to this issue, the United States could raise $300 billion over 10 years just by eliminating tax subsidies to illegal immigrants and the companies that employ them. This is according to the Center for Immigration Studies. With tax reform moving to the front burner for lawmakers, and we know it's already done, we're going to start seeing ours soon here in February, they're saying. We'll start seeing the difference in our checks. Eliminating tax breaks for illegal aliens and their employers would help pay for tax cuts to the tune of $296 million. The largest challenge facing tax reformers is finding sufficient additional revenue to pay for the cuts and tax incentives they promised to the people who elected them. Now, Center for Immigration Studies says in its report, in fairness to the American families and businesses to whom these tax cuts have been promised, Congress should consider eliminating unwarranted tax breaks to unauthorized alien workers and their employers. The two tax breaks to eliminate, according to CIS, the subsidies for employers of illegals and the other for unauthorized workers themselves. The first step is to amend the IRS code. Though it's illegal to employ illegal aliens, the IRS has ruled that Section 162E does not apply to the wages paid to those aliens, even if the employer knowingly broke the law. How convenient is that, folks? Steve King of Iowa, Representative Steve King of Iowa, sponsored and introduced a bill in January to do just that, but it stalled in the Subcommittee on Immigration and Border Security. I wonder why. The second step is to firm up and shut down the questionable interpretation of the law the IRS is using that has allowed illegal immigrants to claim child tax credits by using a tax identification number versus a Social Security number. CIS estimates limiting the child tax credits would increase federal tax revenues by $42 billion over 10 years. How about that, folks? You wonder where all this money goes. Now you know. All right. We're back around to the top of the hour, folks. It's time to wrap this thing up. I've enjoyed it tonight. I'm sorry it was a little darker on the open and for the bulk of the show, but it was something that really needed to be talked about on different levels. I hope you'll continue that discussion in your home or with your friends, whatever you got to do. Let's get everything buttoned up the right way. A reminder coming up next, Jesse's POV, followed by the Stafford Voice. And I want to remind you that if you like the show, tell your friends. And if your friends like the show, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome every week right here with me on KLRN for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Thank you. Peace out. And God bless.
From a challenge or a fight, makes a fight. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.